Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is August 7th, 2019. This is episode 253 of The Big Show. And as ever, I very much appreciate you tuning in. I think we've got a really cool show for you today, and there's lots of cool stuff to talk about, so I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. Now, over the last month or so, I've sort of been drawing dots on a page. When I talked about the Mary Meeker Internet Trends Report in episode 248 about a month ago, when I talked about the four huge trends that every digital marketer needs to know in episode 250, when I talked about what the big shift to mobile means for your business in episode 251, and what I talked about last week in terms of making personalization human, I want to spend a little time today connecting the dots that I drew on the page and sort of talking about the big picture, taking a step back and looking at how these trends relate to one another and why that matters to you and what you can do about it. If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to those episodes, don't worry, I'm going to give a quick high-level overview of them. But for those of you who have listened, don't worry, I'm not going to repeat 4 or 5 episodes worth of content that you've already listened to. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, all of those episodes will be linked to in the show notes, so you can go back and review them at your leisure. But what's really fascinating is when we talk about mobile, what most marketers think about is how they can use it to put the content and the experiences in front of their customers that they want to, when they want to, where they want to, and where the customer is, right? How do you help the customer where they are? And I think many businesses are doing a pretty good job of moving in the right direction there. Where I think there's a lot of opportunity to grow and where a lot of companies still have lots and lots of work to do is on the listening side, is on the side of the data that you can get from what customers do when they're using mobile. You know, we see just tremendous, tremendous amounts of data coming out of mobile usage. And obviously, you have an enormous opportunity to take that data and use it to create a better experience for your customers. If you look at the sensors in a typical mobile phone today, you have things like an accelerometer, which can tell you whether or not somebody's moving or not and in which directions they're moving and the like. Obviously, there's a gyroscope that gives details about orientation. There's a magnetometer that actually, you know, what most people would call a compass. There's a GPS. There's a proximity sensor about how close to things people might be. You can tell, the ambient light around them or the microphone or all kinds of other things. And when you look at the way some folks are using this data, for instance, you know, there's a great piece from Michigan State University from this past February, the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences, that talks about how companies are using cell phone data, and they call out Google Maps and its ability to predict traffic patterns, which is awesome. They also talk about how by using that mobile phone's past location and movement patterns, you can predict where a person lives, who their employer is, when and where they go to church, and, you know, even things like the ages of their kids based on where they drop their kids off for school, which is incredibly powerful. Obviously, that data exists that you can use to create better, more targeted experiences for your customers. That is, if you're paying attention to the data. And obviously, it's really hard for individual people or individual companies or individual marketers to go through this kind of data and figure out the right thing to do. So obviously, this is where AI can come into play. You know, I've talked before about AI makes big data little. And to be fair, my friend Ed St. Ange deserves credit for that quote. But it's a phenomenal way to think about it, that as you collect this data or as you use the data that is made available to you by some of the big players out there, and I'm going to talk about them more in a minute, you have tremendous ability to get deeper insights into your customers, to understand where and when they are at a given point, and figure out the right content and the right experience to offer them at that moment to drive greater engagement with your business, to improve customer satisfaction, and optimally to increase sales. So you have incredible insights available to you if you take advantage of it. Now, I mentioned the big players a moment ago in passing, but I mean, you have to remember, the big players are doing this today. When you talk about Merkle or Axion or Epsilon or, you know, folks like Equifax or Experian or Netflix or Spotify or our good friends, the Frightful Five, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft, they're doing this today. They're taking this data and using it to create a deeper, richer experience for customers. There's a study that was published in the Financial Times back in October of last year that showed Google can receive data from roughly 88% of the apps in the study, apps on mobile devices, mobile Android devices. Google can receive data from more than 88% of those apps. You know, by comparison, Facebook got data from roughly 43% of the apps that the researchers reviewed. Now, 43 might sound like a lot less than 88, and of course it is. It's half as much. But it's probably 10 times what most other people are getting. It's certainly 10 times what you're getting in most cases. Now, the upside to you is that Apple and Google and Facebook and Amazon and Microsoft provide you access to those customers through their various marketing programs and the like. It's very popular to say that they sell the data. In most cases, they don't sell the data. They're not going to give you the data, but they will give you access to the customers and help you reach the customers you want to with better targeting. Now, at this point, I do have to take a big step back and say, you know, to quote everybody's favorite Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility. I said a moment ago, your ability to know these kinds of things about your customer is incredibly powerful. And if you're going to make use of this power, it's incredibly important that you do so in an ethical and honest way, not just a legal way. You know, I've talked before about the lessons that marketers must learn from GDPR, where basically my point was those laws like GDPR or the California Consumer Privacy Act or the like exist because marketers didn't treat customers in an ethical or honest or fair way, right? Regulation only comes around when there's a need to protect somebody, the innocent, from somebody, the not-so-innocent, who's taking advantage of them, right? And clearly this legislation, these legislation types exist because marketers weren't always 100% above board in the way they used data. I'm very fond of saying that digital is like gravity. You know, it's really useful for many things, but it's got a lot of downsides if you happen to be on top of a very tall building and move in the wrong direction. The simple fact of it is that those kinds of regulations and those kinds of legislation exist because we weren't always careful. There's some fascinating data from Pew Research on Facebook. that talked about Facebook that said, you know, 74% of Facebook users didn't know that this specific list of their traits and interests exist at Facebook until they were part of a study. I bet that number has changed dramatically since the study was done last year, given all of Facebook's woes. But roughly half of Facebook users said that they weren't comfortable with the fact that the company has created such a list. I strongly believe, and again, I bet that number's gone up too. I strongly believe that there's a relationship between those two numbers, in that probably a lot fewer would be more comfortable if they'd known up front that Facebook was doing this. So when we think about how we use data, and when we think about the information we collect from customers, forget what the law is. And I don't mean by that, I don't mean ignore the law. I don't mean break the law. I mean try to do better than the law. The law exists because it needs to protect people from folks who aren't doing the right thing for customers. Why wouldn't you want to be the type who does the right thing for customers? So at any point when I'm saying this, I don't mean don't do data collection. I don't mean don't use that data to create a better experience. I don't mean don't feed that data into artificial intelligence to get even deeper insights and understand how you can make that experience even better. You absolutely should do those things. But you should do it in a way, like I talked about last week with making personalization human, in a way that takes care of your customers, that helps your customers, that actually tries to provide benefit to them. You know, there's a few different ways you can do that. I've talked about this before, but Julie Ask at Forrester Research has always said, you'd want to think like Big Mother, not Big Brother, when we talk about data. Are we collecting data in a way that will help the customer? Are we collecting data simply because we can, or because it's cool to know something? You know, the first of those is okay. The second of those is, as the term goes, creepy. The other thing that's a really good idea is make sure that you have some outside party, somebody who isn't on your team or somebody whose bonus isn't based on collecting the data, review what you're doing to say, okay, I can see why that's okay, or I don't know, that feels a little creepy. Because that's how you can start to think about doing the right thing for your customer and making the personalization human and making sure that you're remembering that customer experience is queen, as I've talked about many, many times before. So the reality is that the data is out there. The data exists to help you get great insights from your customers. And as more and more of your customers use mobile, more and more data is going to be available to you. That data can help you create a better, deeper, richer, more personalized experience for your customers. And you can use it to drive machine learning algorithms and AI and the like to even understand the customer better to create a better experience. And that all the cool kids are doing it. I almost hesitate to use that expression because sometimes when you say that, that's not necessarily the thing you ought to do. But we know that all the big players are doing this today. And when you want to compete with them or you want to actually create the kinds of experiences your customers expect, that's who you're creating with and that's what you need to do. Yes, you need to be careful. Yes, you need to be respectful. Yes, you need to be clear about the types of data that you're collecting and how you intend to use it. But ultimately, you also do have to do that because that's really what your customers want. It's really what they expect is the kind of experience that meets their needs when and where they are. And that's why ultimately mobile and data and personalization go hand in hand for marketers. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week, but I'd like to remind you that you can check the show notes for today's episode, as well as find an archive of all of our past episodes by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 253. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single episode. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. I would also very much appreciate it if you could provide a positive rating or review while you're there. It's very helpful for us and helps more people find out about all the goodness we try to provide here on Thinks Out Loud every single week. As ever, I'd like to thank our sponsor. Thinks Out Loud is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics to unlock revenue for your business. And you can learn more about Solo Segment on how to improve your content, your customers, increase your customer satisfaction, and make your search smarter by going to solosegment.com. I'd like to remind you that you can find Thinks Out Loud on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter. Or, of course, you can email me. Just send your emails to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much for listening. I always appreciate it. I hope you have a great rest of the week, a wonderful weekend, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, please be well, be safe, and as ever, take care, everybody.